Hey, you're listening to Radio Free DC from high atop the capital of the free world.
Yes, as aforementioned, this is Radio Free DC. Welcome once again. We are live and on the air, or should I say I am live and on the air because Brother Jamie wasn't able to make it tonight. He had to go out of town. But he might be calling in later on if he can. But I'm here, and we're going to have a great show tonight. And before we get into it, and there is so much to talk about, and I know some of you that are listening are probably bracing yourself thinking, oh no, more politics. But it's all good. We're going to talk about politics, but I'm going to share some things about politics that I think you're going to find really interesting. And we're going to do that before we get into current, all the firestorm of stuff that's been going on all week. But before we do that, we have some announcements. So the first thing that we need to address is the Radio Free DC Kickstarter campaign. It looks like at this point that unfortunately we will not be funded. So for those of you that don't know, Kickstarter is a really cool organization. It's a way that you can get all different kinds of campaigns and even businesses and different kinds of things funded. Unfortunately, because we didn't meet our goal on time, it looks like it won't be. However, we still have tonight. As a matter of fact, I think we've got approximately 8 hours. So, if you would like to make a donation, here's what you do. What you do is get a cereal box and then just like dump some money into it, or a shoe box. No, just kidding, just kidding. Here's what you do. If you want to make a donation, go to our Kickstarter link that is located on our webpage, which is located at bbsradio.com/radiofreeDC. And I'm going to go real slow for those of you that need to write that down. It is B as in boy, S as in Sierra, radio, kind of all jammed together as one word. That's B as in boy, Sierra Radio.com/Radio Free DC. BBSRadio.com/Radio Free DC. Then you simply click on the Kickstarter link, which will take you from our funding campaign page where you can make a donation to fund our efforts so that we can become a daily broadcast program instead of every other week. This will enable us to become a daily broadcast program and commercial free. But if you're going to do it, you have to do it tonight because, as I said earlier, the campaign ends in approximately 8 hours. So the clock is ticking. So you want to make a donation, once again, bbsradio.com/radiofreeDC. So a couple more announcements. We want to give much-deserved congratulations to Michael Savage. He's the host of a nationally syndicated radio program known as Savage Nation, and he will be inducted into the 2016 National Radio Hall of Fame. Here's a quote from Michael where he said, and I quote, "To me, this is the capstone of my life," end quote, Savage told WND. "All my writing, all my speaking, this is it." So a big congratulations to Michael Savage, and it's well-deserved. You know, he's done a great job. Jamie's a huge fan. I'm a fan of his, but I'm really, what I love about Michael Savage more than anything, I love his stories. And I'm kind of sad that he's got away from his stories. Of all the talk show hosts on the radio I have ever heard, nobody tells a story like Dr. Michael Savage. And I'm talking about his growing up years in New York. I believe he grew up in Brooklyn. Nobody tells a story like he does. even to, you know, more current stuff. You know, the more current stuff that he talks about his own personal life usually has to do with this dog, Teddy, who he takes out to restaurants with him. So enough about that. But anyhow, so let's get right into it. There is, as I alluded to earlier, a firestorm right now at the Democrat National Convention in Philadelphia. And this has to do with some emails that went back and forth within the Democrat Party, specifically Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who up until recently was the DNC chair. Apparently WikiLeaks uncovered this. I guess it was Russian hackers that hacked into an email server, and then Julian Assange got his hands on him. We're going to get into more of that. But as I said, I know that there's some of you that listen to our show, and you're just like, oh, gosh, you know, more political stuff. And politics aren't the only thing that we talk about on the show. I mean, we talk about a lot of stuff. And sometimes we'll shift from talking about one topic, and we'll just, boom, we're on to another topic, and then we'll come back. We like the show to be exciting. We like it to be live. We like it to be moving. So, you know, politics aren't going to be the central focus of this show week in and week out. But on the other hand, I mean, this is big time news in our country right now. Now, there's other things that have been happening, you know, such as the terrorist attack in Germany, such as the heat wave right now. For those of you that are on the East Coast, and I guess the Midwest too, but, you know, my car thermometer was reading over 100 degrees today. And as I often say, thank God for air conditioning. You know, it's a great modern invention. You know, it's one of the wonders of the modern age. But I digress. What I want to do right now is I want to read some quotations from our early founding fathers. And in reading these, I'm gonna tell you why I'm reading these. The founding fathers had a lot of wisdom, and you know, unfortunately, in the times in which we live, it's politically incorrect. It's becoming more and more politically incorrect to quote them. Oh, they were all a bunch of misogynistic, racist slaveholders. Which isn't true. Some of them, yes, were slaveholders. Some of them were abolitionists. But they had great wisdom. And it was because of their wisdom that we have the country that we do. And more specifically, the quotations that I'm going to read to you, I hope will motivate you if you're not interested in politics, if you don't care about it, if you don't vote. You know, if you don't want to, you know, you're tired of hearing about it on the news. I want to encourage you just to listen to some of these quotations, and then we're going to go to a break because there's much wisdom in what I'm going to read you. So the first one is from George Washington, and it was his farewell address, dated September 17, 1796. And he says, "The basis of our political system is the right of people to make and to alter their constitutions of government. But the Constitution, which at any time exists, till changed by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, is sacredly obligatory upon all." Thomas Jefferson in 1791, "I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending to too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it." Patrick Henry, this was actually Wendell Phillips citing Thomas Jefferson, though it has been attributed to Patrick Henry. "Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty." This next one, Thomas Jefferson, "When governments fear the people, there is liberty. When people fear the government, there is tyranny." John Quincy Adams here, "Always vote for principle, though you may vote alone. And you may cherish the sweetest reflection that your vote is never lost." John Adams, 1771. It is not only the juror's right, but his duty to find the verdict according to his own best understanding, judgment, and conscience, though in direct opposition to the direction of the court. Thomas Jefferson. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny and government. Daniel Webster, and this is a really good one. Good intentions will always be pleaded for every assumption of authority. It is hardly too strong to say that the Constitution was made to guard the people against the dangers of good intentions. There are men in all ages who mean to govern well, but they mean to govern. They promise to be good masters, but they mean to be masters. And this one, I'm going to tell you who this next quote is just awesome, and I'll save the author of it, see if you can kind of guess who it was. Property is the fruit of labor. Property is the fruit of labor. Property is desirable. It is a positive good in the world. That some should be rich shows that others may become rich, and hence is just encouragement to industry and enterprise. And here's the meat of this quote. Let not who is houseless or homeless pull down the house of another, but let him labor diligently and build one for himself, thus by example assuring that his own shall be safe from violence. That was none other than Abraham Lincoln in 1864. Benjamin Franklin, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Thomas Jefferson, rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our own will within it, limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. I do not add within the limits of the law, because the law is often, but the tyrant's will, and always so when it violates the right of an individual. There's a whole bunch of other quotes that I could go on and read here in the same vein. And we're going to cut to a break here in just a minute. But as we get into tonight's broadcast and we talk about some of the things that are going on, I want you all to think about some of the quotations that I read you. I want you to think about it. And by the way, you know, this is a talk show. And so I'm going to give you the 800 number, actually 888 number, for you to call in the show if you'd like. And we can talk about anything. It doesn't have to be about you know, the political events, the firestorm that we've seen going on in our country over the past 2 weeks. It could be about anything, but let me give you that number. So if you want to call in right now, please call in. The number is 888, so that's 888-627-6008. Once again, it's 888-627-6008. So, Doug, if you can take us to a break and let's go ahead and play the Cap Enterprises commercial. That is in your list, Doug, as Adam Cap. Adam CAP, AD1.M4A. So if you can, if we can cut to that break right now, and we'll be back. Are you there, Doug?
Hey, if you want to catch a good contractor, check these guys out. Cap Enterprises, LLC. They are professionals. They're licensed. They're insured. They're going to come in and they're going to do it right. They get in, get done, get out. You know what I'm saying? Just the way it ought to be. Now, if you have any projects, commercial, residential, these are the guys to call. I'm telling you. 703-980-1632. These guys will do it right, and they're not going to drop a bomb on you. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to leave you hanging, and they are professionals. These are the kind of guys I call whenever I need something done. So give them a call, 703-980-1632. That's Cap Enterprises, or check them out on the web, C-A-P-A-R-T. Hey, watch out. Oh, there goes that new... Looks like I got to call Cap Enterprises. All right, check them out on the web. Like I was saying, CAPARTCO.com. That's Cap Enterprises. And, oh, gosh. Celebrity voices impersonated.
When governments fear the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. Welcome back to the show. This is Radio Free DC. And tonight, we are going to get into talking about some of the more recent national political happenings, really firestorms. What I want to get into is what's going on right now with the WikiLeaks scandal with the DNC. Before we do that, I want to say a couple things about what happened with Ted Cruz at the Republican National Convention. There seems to be two camps, two schools of thought on this controversial speech that he made, where he basically refused to endorse Donald Trump and really blasted him. And it was, you know, the speech, I guess you would say, was kind of sanctimonious, at least in my view it was. Now, this is coming from a guy who actually voted for Ted Cruz in the primaries. But I have to tell you, and before I tell you what my opinion on it is, there's two school of thoughts. One is there's a lot of Cruisers out there that are like, yeah, he told it like it was. Yeah, he stood up to Donald Trump and all the Trumpsters. The other school of thought is where people are saying, look, you know, why didn't he just suck it up and endorse Trump and talk about how important it is to defeat Hillary? Well, I think the truth in terms of really what he should have done is somewhere in the middle. And what I mean is this, and you can call in, by the way, and we can talk about it at 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, here on Radio Free DC. So here's my view. So first of all, Trump crossed a line with his attacks, his personal attacks against Cruz, against Cruz's wife, and against Cruz's father. And I'm not going to get into all the, you know, nitty-gritty and all the details of what he said. You can go look that up. But it was very personal. Now, you know, in all fairness to Donald Trump, he did tweet out that he was wrong in at least some of those attacks, like some of the stuff Trump, you know, some of the attacks against Heidi Cruz. Trump tweeted that he regretted tweeting out the things that he did. So that's good. But I would not blame Cruz for being upset about it. It was very personal. It went way beyond any political contest. But here's the thing. In my view, Cruz needed to put the country first. And I think he was putting his own hurt feelings first. I think that what he should have done, at least I would have understood it, and I think that most Americans would have understood it, that were strong supporters, most Cruz voters would have understood if he would have said, look, I can't endorse the man because of these personal attacks. I can't go there. So I'm not going to speak at the Republican convention. But I still believe that Hillary would be worse. He could have gone so far as to say, I think that Trump is the lesser of two evils. And if he's the lesser of two evils, then vote for him. But he didn't do that. And it's really a shame. Because for those of us that, you know, believed that Hillary Clinton would be a disaster as president of our country, you know, Trump's our best alternative. Now, you know, if you listen to the broadcast, you know that Jamie's a huge Trump supporter. I'm a Trump supporter, but I'm a little bit more neutral regarding Trump. I like some of the things I see, you know, but anyhow, that is my view on what happened with Cruz's speech. And I think it was important to talk about it because, you know, up until the whole scandal about the WikiLeaks that we're going to talk about now came out, that was kind of front and center. Now, you know, the Democrats tried to make a big deal out of it as far as Trump's speech. I'm sorry, Cruz's speech. And then they tried to pounce on Trump's speech and talk about how dark it was, which I thought was laughable. I mean, these are the, you know, the Democrats are the ones that run around and talk about how we're going to be covered with the oceans in 10 years and, you know, how the Republicans are trying to, you know, poison the water and kill our kids and steal their lunch money and whatever else. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, dark foreboding, negative pessimistic outlooks. The Democrats wrote the book on it. So I thought that was pretty disingenuous of them. But anyhow, I think that whatever controversies you had in the Republican National Convention, why they pale in comparison to what's going on with the DNC. For those of you who don't know, so apparently what happened was some Russian hackers, well, I tell you, you know, they are masters of hacking, the Russians, you know. The Chinese are right with them, you know. They're launching, what is it, millions of attacks against our military computer systems, our governmental systems. But while the Russian hackers have their fingers in everything, they managed to hack into the DNC's email servers. And I don't know I won't go into all the details, a lot of it I don't know, of how WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, came by this information. But Julian Assange has now reported he's actually released a little bit of information regarding these emails, and it's very ugly. And it appears that what had happened was Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who up until recently was the DNC chair, was actually working in cahoots. It appears in cahoots. She was definitely conspiring, I guess is a good word, to try to defeat and undermine Bernie Sanders. She was siding with Hillary Clinton in the primary campaign. And so all of this has come out now. She had to leave the Democrat National Convention in disgrace. She had to resign from being the chair. It is an ugly, ugly situation. And so that's the firestorm right now. Now, Julian Assange has not released any information that would implicate Hillary as being involved in it. In other words, there's no emails that would of a smoking gun that would point at Hillary. And we're not even talking about the server scandal and all that. That's a whole other issue for another show. But there are some other things that I don't hear the news media reporting on in regards to some of the emails that he's uncovered that are very disturbing. And some of these things, well, now, Assange has said that, and I quote, enough evidence for the Department of Justice to indict Hillary, the expected Democrat nominee. So this is very disturbing. At this point, considering what happened with the recent Department of Justice press conference where Comey had announced that he did not see enough evidence, I don't know what evidence he was looking at, or he was overlooking, to indict her, it's doubtful to me whether or not there would be any indictment forthcoming from the Department of Justice. Of course, Comey's is with the FBI, but the FBI and the DOJ work hand in hand in these cases. But more to the point, what Assange is alleging is that some of the things that he claims he has evidence for, things like emails that involve donors to Hillary Clinton's campaign and how they've been promised political appointments should Hillary Clinton win the White House, that is extremely illegal. And according to Assange, this is just the tip of the iceberg. He's saying that he's got there's a bunch of things in here that are just at a minimum scandalous, would be scandalous to the DNC. Some have speculated that this could cost her the nomination. I don't think so. Sanders is endorsing her, but you can only imagine what's going on behind the scenes in private meetings right now at the Democrat National Convention. Another thing that Assange brought up was Sanders' atheism. You know, the Democrat Party claims to be, you know, all-inclusive, but there seems to be a discussion in these emails that Hillary was planning on using his atheism to attack him, saying, well, and I quote, this is according to Julian Assange, and I quote, "My Southern Baptist peeps would draw a big difference between a Jew and an atheist," end quote. So, look, at the risk of sounding partisan, I'm discussing this tonight. But I want to go back to some of these quotations from our founders, because what I want to say is that it doesn't matter whether it's the Democrats, whether it's the Republicans. And, oh, by the way, as a conservative who voted for Ronald Reagan twice, I have to say that I was pretty appalled at the shenanigans of the Republican establishment trying to figure out ways that they could manipulate and maneuver the rules of the convention to try to take the nomination away from Donald Trump. The groundswell of support for Trump was so strong, there was no way they were ever going to get away with it. But I want to go back to some of these quotes from our founding fathers. And I guess what I want to do is put these maybe in a little bit more layman's terms and apply them to what we're seeing go on right in front of our eyes. This quote that I read to you is from Thomas Jefferson, and it's also been attributed to Samuel Adams and Thomas Paine, but no one's exactly sure, but it's a great quote, whichever one of the founders said it. "When governments fear the people, there's liberty. When people fear the government, there's tyranny." And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Democrats, whether it's Republicans. I don't want to see the government as powerful as what it has become. You know, here's another one in this vein where, let me see if I can find it here. I can practically quote it from memory. And it's Ben Franklin, and Ben Franklin saying, "They who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." I'll give you an example of this is Obamacare. People were willing. Now, the facts are that a majority of Americans actually proposed it or opposed it. There were some Americans that supported it. There was a sizable number. It wasn't a majority, but a sizable number. But here's an example of people that were willing to hand over 1/8 of the U.S. economy to the federal government. Bad idea. So whether we're talking about Republicans or Democrats, I want to challenge everybody listening to go back and read some of these quotes from the founders and consider what they have to say. Because as the saying goes, absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, we need to go back to the Constitution, to a constitutional form of government, because we've strayed from it. We've strayed very far from it. And I try to be an optimistic person in my own personal life. I'm very optimistic because of my faith in God. and the relationship that I have with God. I'm not as optimistic about what I see happening in the country now, but that's why we're doing Radio Free DC. We're trying to get these issues out in the open, talk about them, and talk about really what the answers are, what the solutions are. And as far as our form of government goes, the answers are right there in the Constitution, but not only in the Constitution, but in what our founding fathers had to say. So we're going to go to a break right now. And Doug, if you can cue up Adam Kapp again, let's run the Kapp Works commercial again, because we got to pay for radio time. Oh, and by the way, as Doug is working on this, as he's getting ready to cue this back up, let me remind you that the Kickstarter campaign is still open for 7 hours, and it looks like about another 23 minutes. So if you want to get in there and make a donation, because unless we get this funded within that time frame, then we're not going to be funded. But if you want to make a donation, then go to our Kickstarter link on our webpage, which is located at bbsradio.com/radiofreeDC. Once again, that is bbsradio.com/radiofreeDC. No spaces. Just type in B as in boy, S as in Sierra, radio.com/radiofreeDC. Are you there, Doug? Can you hear me?
Hey, if you want to catch a good contractor, check these guys out, Kapp Enterprises, LLC. They are professionals. They're licensed. They're insured. They're going to come in, and they're going to do it right. They get in, get done, get out. You know what I'm saying? Just the way it ought to be. Now, if you have any projects, commercial, residential, these are the guys to call. I'm telling you. 703-980-1632. These guys will do it right, and they're not going to drop a bomb on you. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to leave you hanging, and they are professionals. These are the kind of guys I call whenever I need something done. So give them a call, 703-980-1632. That's Kapp Enterprises, or check them out on the web, C-A-P-A-R-T. Hey, watch out. Oh, there goes that new... Looks like I got to call Kapp Enterprises. All right, check them out on the web. Like I was saying, CAPARTCO.com. That's Kapp Enterprises. And, oh, gosh. Celebrity Voices Impersonated. Ow.
Welcome back to Radio Free DC, Washington, D.C., state of Maryland, where I reside, Northern Virginia, the rest of the state of Virginia, and all over this great country and all over the world. So we've been talking about current firestorm regarding these WikiLeaks, these emails that were hacked into by Russian hackers, which Julian Assange of WikiLeaks got his hands on. And I want to go in a little bit different direction right now, because you know, sometimes when we talk about politics, it can get really negative. Then it just becomes kind of a downer of a conversation. And, you know, in some of the past broadcasts that we've done, we've also talked about how that, you know, is it possible that God, the same way that God raised up Cyrus in the Bible to actually help a return back, Israel return back to the land and rebuild the temple. You know, Cyrus was this pagan guy that worshipped, he was a pantheist. You know, he was not an adherent to the Israelite religion. And yet, God used him in a mighty way to bring to pass scriptures that had foretold about the return from the exile, Israel's return from exile. We talked about that, and we talked about, could this be that, you know, there's a prophetic word that one guy had who operates in prophetic ministry about a bulldozer going through the White House. It was actually a dream that a woman had that she shared with John Paul Jackson. And in the dream, she saw a bulldozer plowing through the White House. And we talked about the possibility that God could be raising up Donald Trump. Well, you know, America is very interesting, because if you study American history, and I am a bit of a history buff, you know, history was one of the classes in high school I paid attention in. I didn't pay attention in to a whole lot of anything except getting high and chasing girls, playing in a rock band in high school. But I loved history. And what's fascinating in studying the history of this country is just how the country was first founded by the founding fathers, especially the Revolutionary War. When you look at the odds and how the deck was stacked against the Continental Army, and how the Continental Army managed to win that war, it's astounding. And when you look at some of the specific things that happened, they're nothing short of miraculous. Like, for example, when Benedict Arnold betrayed his country and went over to the British, that situation, we came very close to the British winning the war, because Washington was in a hair's breadth of being captured by the British. And there were many things like that in the Revolutionary War. But I want to talk about one story, and there may be some of those stories that you've heard before, but I want to talk about one that came to my mind that I wanted to share that is just amazing. And it happened during the War of 1812. And for those of you who aren't that familiar with history, the War of 1812 was when the British, who were very bitter over being defeated in the Revolutionary War, decided that they were going to make a second attempt to come back in and reclaim the United States as their colony. And the war didn't last very long. In fact, the Star-Spangled Banner came out of the war when Francis Scott Key was inspired by the defense of Baltimore Harbor to write it. I believe he was actually there and witnessed it. But there was one event that happened, and I don't think there is any other way to explain this event but the hand of God. And it had to do with when the British, United States Army suffered a crushing defeat by the British, and I believe it was in Bladensburg. The British came ashore in Maryland, and they were just marching straight for the Capitol. And they crushed our army in a battle. I believe it was at Bladensburg. And they just marched straight into Washington, and they began to burn Washington. And the president had to flee. Everybody fled. The president, the Congress. It was terrible. And it looked like our fledgling little country was going to go up in flames along with the city of Washington, D.C. But I want to read to you an account of what happened in this time period that I believe was the hand of God. So the next day, this would have been the day after the buildings were being torched. The next day, August 25th, as fires still raged, August 25th is my birthday, by the way, as the fires still raged, a massive storm hit Washington. The driving rain put out most of the fires threatening the city. Perhaps more important, the invading British were so battered and demoralized, the storm played a large role in the decision to cut short the occupation of Washington. The storm was so fierce, it tore buildings apart, lifting them off their foundations. The wind uprooted trees, knocked men to the ground. A number of houses collapsed, killing British soldiers taking shelter. One British officer reported seeing cannons lifted off the ground and thrown through the air. Then it says, as the storm began to subside, so there's this massive storm that came through. Apparently, it was a hurricane, and it spawned tornadoes. Pouring buckets of rain put all the fires out. That's the first thing. Then these tornadoes come through. And there were a number of British soldiers that were killed. And when all this began to subside, one of the British officers in command of the invasion emerged from his shelter and said to one of the inhabitants of Washington, "Great God, madam, is this the kind of storm to which you are accustomed in this infernal country?" She responded, "No, sir. This is a special interposition of Providence to drive our enemies from the city." Now, let me tell you something. For those of us that live in the D.C. area, and probably most of you listening live in the D.C. area, we don't get storms like that in D.C. Who can remember when the last time there was that there were tornadoes that tore the city apart? But, and what were the odds that that storm would have hit the city at that precise time? Just when Washington was going up in flames, literally going up in flames. The British had control of our capital. And just when the city's going up in flames, the hand of God intervened. So I want to encourage everybody listening tonight that you believe in the Lord, you believe in prayer, that you, in obedience to what the scriptures tell us, that you lift up our leaders and pray for them, that you lift up the president, that you lift up the Congress, that you lift up Washington, D.C., and pray for Washington, D.C., because as I see it with the corruption that we talked about, and we, you know, look, we hit the tip of the iceberg tonight. I mean, I could do a six-hour show on all the corruption that's been going on with our government. And I'm not saying it's all Democrats either. It's with Republicans too. Our country is, in a sense, going up in flames. And we need to pray. And we need to pay attention. And we need to talk about these things. Okay? So as we're winding down the show tonight, and unfortunately, Brother Jamie couldn't call in tonight, but I want you guys to think about what I've talked about tonight. I want you to think about it, especially those of you that are just bored by politics and not interested. Because you know what? This is your country. You're an American. You have a responsibility to get involved. I'm not saying that you have to go run for office. At a minimum, you got to vote. Your vote matters. Your vote counts, you know? And for those of you that can't stomach the idea of Hillary Clinton as president, but you don't like Donald Trump either, well, you know what? Look at it as I think that Ted Cruz should have looked at it, which is vote the lesser of two evils. I think, actually, that if Donald Trump wins, we're going to be pleasantly surprised. I really do. I think that there is something here of providence and the hand of God guiding him that goes far beyond what he even understands. So we've got a few minutes left here. Anybody want to call into the show? Write this number down. It's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. It'd be really interesting to see what happens with all of these issues, you know. I think that, you know, that a lot of people feel the same way I do, in that We want to see what are in those emails that we talked about earlier that Julian Assange has leaked regarding things which he says that the Department of Justice is going to have to prosecute Hillary Clinton for. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, because in my humble opinion, I think that there was plenty for the Department of Justice to prosecute her for with the email server scandal. I think that the FBI should have recommended it. For those of you who don't know, there are multiple people right now. In fact, I'll give you one example. There's a sailor who took a photo. I think I mentioned this on our last broadcast. He took a photo of some friends inside a submarine and inadvertently got a picture of some things in the background that should not have been in that picture. It was top secret stuff having to do with certain types of equipment.
About
being prosecuted.
Oh, just letting you know, you got about 2 minutes, my friend.
Gotcha. He's being prosecuted, so I want to leave you with this. For those of you that are skeptical about what I'm saying, I want you to think about this, that justice has to be equal. It has to be equal. We can't have people like Hillary Clinton getting off scot-free when they should be prosecuted. But let's also be careful to remember that, you know, that God has had his hand on this country. We need to pray. You know, we need to be involved politically. We need to pay attention. And we do need to pray that God will have his hand on this election and that he will continue to guide our country. So as we close the show here, we need to go out on a high note. We need to go out with something, a song that I think would be appropriate. Let's see here. Oh, talk about not showing favoritism. Doug, let's cue up Fortunate Son. Man, I can't think of a more appropriate song to go out on this broadcast for. And if you don't know what I'm saying, listen to the words of the song. Those of you who are not familiar with Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival, if you think way back to the movie Forrest Gump, you'll remember the part where he goes to Vietnam and he's flying in on a chopper. This is a song that's played. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. So, Doug, whenever you're ready, you can cue that up.